This time we're going to go ahead and have the kids go down to children's church. Just a reminder, there's not a first and second grade children's church, but those who are younger, there is provided. So, while they're making their way down with the kids, I'd like to invite the rest of you to open to 1 Timothy chapter 5. We've been looking at 1 Timothy, working through the book. We continue today. I'd like to read 1 Timothy 5, verses 3 to 16, commit the time to the Lord in prayer, and then see what we learn from this section of Scripture. It's challenging. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3 says this, "Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she who is a widow indeed and who is been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. But she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead even while she lives. Prescribe these things as well so that they may be above reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself to every good work. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. For some have already turned aside to follow Satan. If any woman who is above her, who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to worship in song, to fellowship. We thank you, Father, for the Sunday school classes we've been a part of, if we've been able to do that. And Lord, we thank you now for the time to come to this section of Scripture. It's a challenging one, and it's one that we want to make sure that as your people, we listen and we live. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, there are eight widows in our church family. Got a couple of questions for you. Number one, do you know who they are? And the second one's even a little more personal. Do you know what their needs are? See, we live in a day of Social Security, of IRAs, of retirement plans, of cooperative ministry here locally. And we really have social networks, social safety nets, I should say, in place for those who may need, have needs. Does this mean then that we don't need this passage? No way, I'll say. No way. We need this. We need to hear what this passage has to say to us today. In fact, it's one of the seminary topics that Paul chose to put in 1 Timothy due to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have an important proper perspective of God that we want to talk about just briefly. Okay? There's a proper perspective of God that we want to consider. The first one is for those of us who are not widows. I'd like to invite you, if you would, just to turn with me to verse 4 again, where it says, and it's speaking in the context of this passage to family, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. Get this last phrase, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now, God's name is only mentioned two times in this passage. This is one of them right here. And what we see here is this. God sees how our widows are treated. Now, here's the question. Is he pleased with what he sees? Is God pleased with what he sees as far as how we're treating our widows? Is it acceptable to him? And then the next proper perspective of God is going to be addressed to those who are widows this morning. And I'd like to just turn your attention to verse 5 where it says, "Now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. So one mention of God in this passage speaks of him being aware of how we treat widows and is it acceptable to him. The other place where his name is mentioned here is speaking to widows specifically, and to them it's this: fix your hope on God and pray night and day. And I know to those of you who are widows, you probably have devoted your time in that way. But just a reminder, God sees how we treat our widows and is it pleasing to him. And widows, fix your hope on God and pray continually to him. You know, as much as I would like to think and hope that your families and your church family always comes through for you, I know there are times that you are let down and times when you have needs where maybe there's nobody there for you. But be sure of this, that God is very aware of your situation. He will never fail you. So, sermon in a sentence today is this: God provides care for widows. Are we following the prescription? That's what I want us to consider as we think through this today. God provides care for widows. Are we following the prescription? So we're going to spend really the bulk of our time today taking a look at the Lord's prescription through Paul to Timothy on how to care for those who are widows. And I'm going to just say this up front. You're going to have to follow closely on this because as we go through this passage sort of shifts. It's talking about one group of people and then another group of people kind of goes back and forth. And as we go through this, I'm going to try to just make clear what group of people we're referring to here. But just stay with me because we're going to work through our church family as we work through this. So 9 different charges, if you will, or 9 different things we need to take to heart when it comes to caring for our widows. Here's the first one. And this is addressed to the church, okay, to the church at large. And here it is. Honor widows who are widows indeed. Honor widows who are widows indeed. Now, this is a present active imperative verb, which means do it and do it now. You need to be doing this, okay? And what does it mean to honor? It means to revere. It means to prize. It means to value. That's how we should look at our widows. And it may mean helping them out financially with something. Or it could mean volunteering help or helping provide counsel or whatever. A plethora of ways that can be applied. But we need to honor them. So that's so important. That's the first thing, and it's addressed to the entire church. Now, we'll talk about widows indeed in just a few moments. But let's go to number 2. And this is addressed to family. Okay, I'm talking to those of you who have a family member, some connection who is a widow. Okay, that's who we're talking about here in the next one, and that is this. Look with me at verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family, and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. So first of all, practice piety or honorable. Be honorable to your parents. Make some return to them. They put so much into you, or grandparent, whoever, they have benefited you so much. Pay some return on that. Give some return on the investment, if you will, that they've made in your life. And this is acceptable. This is agreeable. This is pleasing to God that we do this. Remember, Exodus 20:12 speaks of honoring father and mother. That's an Old Testament verse from the Ten Commandments. But there's another passage in the New Testament that I'd like to go to where this is referenced. I'm speaking of Mark chapter 7. I'd like to look at verses 9 to 13. Jesus is speaking and he says this. He was also saying to them, "You are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your traditions." He's talking about their religious traditions. "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother.'" There you go. There's the Ten Commandment. "And he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death. But you say," and this is religious tradition here, "but you say, if a man says to his father and mother, 'Whatever I have that would help you is Corban,'" that is to say, given to God. In other words, you know, I've got this that could help you out, mom or dad, but I'm giving this to God. This is my religious duty. He goes on to say in verse 12, "You no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition which you have handed down. And you do many things such as that." We need to make sure as a church family that we never put people in a position where we would hinder them from taking care of their parents. If they need to be, if they're in a season of time where they especially need to be helping their folks out, we need to be careful about not hindering them from doing that or putting guilt on them that they need to show more devotion to God by giving more or doing more duties somehow. But I think it's something we need to take to heart. In families, we need to understand we need to be taking care of those who may be widows in our family. You know, I referenced this last week, but John 19, 26 to 27 speaks of the very precious scene where Jesus is on the cross. And as he's on the cross, he's assigning that John, the Apostle John, take care of his mother Mary. Now, Jesus had younger brothers, but we believe they were not believers at this time. And so John was assigned to take care of Jesus' mother. Very precious scene. We see how Jesus, even while he's hanging on the cross, it blows my mind when I even think about it. You're being killed, and in the process, you're making this transaction. He's taking care of Mary. A very precious picture, really. So family, we need to, first of all, take care of our own family. Third charge, and this is going to be addressed to those who are widows indeed. Now, here, we've not defined that yet, but we're going to now. We're talking about someone who is a widow who's alone. There's no family support there. And look at what verse 5 says. Now, she who's a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. So for the widows who don't have much of a support, even family-wise, fix your hope on him entirely. Trust him. Expect him to come through for you. He's a faithful God. There's a beautiful picture in the Old Testament of a widow who had to trust God in this way. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17. And it's an account of the days in the ministries of Elijah. The land is going through a drought. There's scarcity in the land. And in 1 Kings 17, 8, then the word of the Lord came to him, speaking of Elijah, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please give me a little water in a jar that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I might go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die." That's how desperate they were. Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go do as you have said and make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. So here we have a widow woman who very definitely demonstrated her reliance on God to obey as she took care of this prophet. She and her son are about to starve to death, but because she followed the Lord, she and her son were provided for through this crisis. But she had to exercise her faith to do so, didn't she? What a picture. So fix your hope on God. If you're here today, you're listening today, and you're a widow, that's where your ultimate trust has to be. Well, now let's get back to church leadership. The fourth charge we see in verse 7, where we see this, going back to 1 Timothy 5:7, "Prescribe these things as well, so they may be above reproach." Now, just to give you a little context for this verse, this is speaking now, he goes back and forth between different people, but Timothy is being charged to prescribe these things, and he, in this particular case, is talking to the widows. But we need to remind our church family, we need to remind our widows of these truths. This is a present active imperative verb, meaning, again, we need to be doing this. If you're a church leader, if you're a small group leader, a Sunday school teacher, those of you who have teaching opportunities, keep this in front of God's people. We need to remember these things. And then again, in the context of verse 7, so they, speaking of the widows, would be above reproach. Now, one thing we need to understand is this. The body of Christ and families can be in reproach because they're not treating the widows the way they need to. But we're told here that widows can get into trouble too. And so we need to warn them as well about these things. We'll talk about those warnings here in a little bit, but just it's important to remind our church family about this truth, about these truths that we're talking about. We're going to turn our attention to another charge. Now, again, Paul is turning his attention back to the family. So we're talking to the family members again. And you take a look at verse 8, look at what it says. But if anyone does not provide for his own, I'm going to stop right there. Providing for our own family, we've already talked about it, is something we need to do. But an interesting twist on this, and that is the word provide, comes from a Greek word which means to take thought for, or if we could put it another way, to consider in advance. Now, many times we think about taking care of our widows and, oh, they're in a problem right now, we need to take care of them. We most definitely need to do that. But this word goes beyond that. It's not just talking about helping out in times of crisis, but it's saying take thought so you can keep them out of trouble. We need to be so proactive in the way we think of our widows that we can anticipate things that they may have come along, and we help provide for that. We help take care of that. That's a very interesting word meaning there that we need to take to heart. So yeah, it's important that we help folks out in their trouble, but we need to be thinking ahead of that even. So provide for your own household, that's the charge. Take thought for it, consider in advance. The sixth charge is, again, to the church overall, and it's this. These are qualifications for putting these widows on the list. Look at verses 9 and 10. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation for good works, and if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, if she has devoted herself to every good work. So I'm going to stop right there. These are qualifications for putting these dear ladies on the list. Now, the list, what is the list? That's the question. There are a lot of people who have sought to find out exactly what that was at this time. We know that the church, early church, the second, third, and fourth centuries had some very defined ministries for widows where they would take and support them financially, and then they would do different tasks for the church. But the emphasis in this text is what we do for the widows. That's the focus. That's the priority, what we do for them. And so there were these group of ladies that were put on the list to be taken care of. But these were the qualifications. Look at them again. They were at least 60 years old. In that day, retirement age was 60 years old, roughly, and they didn't anticipate or didn't expect someone beyond that age to marry again. So these were, if you will, retired. They didn't have that word in that time, but these were those who couldn't necessarily support themselves anymore. These were a wife of one man. If that phrase sounds familiar, it is. It's because it's the same phrase in reverse that's used for deacons and elders. These are to be women of faithfulness to their husbands. That's the idea. They're faithful to their husbands. And then they also have a reputation for good works. It's interesting to me that these women, even though they've grieved, they've gone through a hard time once they've lost their husbands, all right? These are women who still continue to live out their faith. They're godly women. They have a reputation for good works. It continues. And they brought up their children. I might just say here, this is a categorical one where obviously if they didn't have children to raise, that one wouldn't apply. But just making a statement here about if they had children, they brought them up. They've completed that, or they're working on that duty. They've completed it. They're shown hospitality to strangers. They're hospitable people. They would wash the saints' feet. We know Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. It was a sign of servanthood, being willing to serve others. And they humbled themselves. And then they assisted those in distress. They themselves had the quality of helping others out who were going through difficult times. And that was their characteristic. That was what they did. And they're devoted, we're told, to every good work. This is their quality of life. This is who they are. Now, it's interesting. The seventh thing that we see direction is in verses 11 to 13, where he talks about who not to put on the list, but refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. Now, so we're told, and this is again the church is the focus group here, refuse to put the younger widows on the list. You might say, well, why? I mean, we read what it said, but how do we make sense out of this? He says, well, they may feel sensual desires. They may have those desires to get married. And God has made us with desires, even sexual desire, which in the proper context is wholesome. He's given to us. But it's interesting that the Holman translation says this, they're drawn away from Christ by desire. In other words, it's not just that they have that God-given desire, but they're drawn away from Christ. They want to be married again. But they're being drawn away from Christ, away from the faith. Now, here's the thing. We know from the scriptures that remarriage for a widow is fine. God sanctions that. But some have suggested that perhaps this is speaking of there were widows at that time, they were younger, they desired to get married again, but maybe they got involved with a false teacher. Or maybe they married someone who wasn't a believer. And so that was why he was calling attention to it. They set aside their previous pledge or faith, as some translations will say. Again, the idea here is that their faith in Christ is being neglected. That's the emphasis here. And maybe because of that, they would become idle, gossips and busybodies, that too much time on their hands, if you will. These are things why they were encouraged not to be put on the list too young or too early. But interestingly, the eighth thing that comes along, and this is specifically addressed now to younger widows, right? Listen to what's said here in verse 14, where Paul says to Timothy, therefore I want younger widows to get married, to bear children, to keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach. So get married. Have children. Manage your household. Now let's be real clear. This is not a command. Paul is not saying that a widow has to get married. Certainly singleness is acceptable, and 1 Corinthians talks about that. And there certainly would be widows, younger widows, who wouldn't be ready to be married yet, and they may never feel ready to. But this could be a possible way to support her and her family. Younger widows. And then let's take a look. I might just say there before I move on. For that to be carried out, it would require eligible Christian bachelors to be aware of the situation, right? And Gary, I hope you don't mind. I didn't talk to you ahead of time about this illustration, but Gary's own mother experienced where his natural father passed away, and his brother married Gary's mom, and that family continued, right? Gary, you have this there, right? And so we see a case there where this family was supported by those within the family. And so the body of Christ is meant to be supportive. And a lot of times, you know, and I'm not saying here that it's not important to not have feelings for the one that you marry, it is, but you also need to understand, too, that it's important, too, as the body of Christ, to think about the welfare and being of others, not just our own welfare. Well, the final group, the final charge here is to assist widows. And we see this is addressed to Christian women. Verse 16. If any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that they may assist those who are widows indeed. Widows indeed. Now, these women, Christian women, are to assist widows, to help them out. Now, who are these women? Well, it could be another widow who's in a position to help. It could be a single woman. It could be a Christian woman with an unsaved husband who may not see merit in this, but she does. And maybe with the blessing of her husband, she can help someone out. Or it could just be a Christian woman who comes alongside a widow and helps her through times. So important to be able to do that. And you have a ministry that can be so important. Our widows need friends. And you can certainly come alongside and help them. It's interesting this charge is given, women assisting those who are widows. It says, so the church is not burdened. So the church can assist those who are widows indeed. Now, it's not that all widows aren't important. They are. But the church is especially to be concerned with these who are widows indeed. And we see a priority coming down in this passage. And the priority looks like this. If we have widows who are older, They're not able to maybe sustain themselves. They're alone. There's not a support system. They're godly women. We're especially to prioritize our help for them and assistance to them. It's so important. Now, we want to talk about a couple of worldview warnings here, all right? A couple of worldview warnings, changing the gears just a little bit. In other words, some red flags we want to be aware of. First of all, I just want to speak for a few moments to our widows. Now, I want you to notice in verse 6, Paul is following up a verse where he says it's important for widows to have their hope fixed on God and to be committed to prayer. But it goes on to say, but she who gives herself to wanton pleasure is dead, even while she lives. Wanton pleasure means to live luxurious, sensuous enjoyment. Paul's note here is that they're dead really while living, as opposed to being dead to this world and alive to Christ. I would just remind you, really, Paul's message here is don't suck the world in to fill in the void that your husband, not having your husband, has had in your life. Don't just suck the world in. Don't be given to the worldly pleasures. We have to remember that our Savior died for his bride, didn't he? He died to pay the price for us, to pay for our sin, to take our place on the cross, so that if we recognize that we are in sin, that we're living in sin, we can come to him and receive forgiveness for that and become a child of his, to not spend forever in torment and hell apart from him, but forever with him as his bride, the bride of Christ. But we have to come before him and recognize our sinfulness, recognize that we've not been walking with him, call upon him to forgive us our sin, to receive him as our Savior. Allow him then to be our Savior, to be our Lord, to walk with us daily. You know, Christ died for his bride, but he also rose to give resurrection power to those who are his to live new lives. We don't have to live in sin, but through the power he places within us, through his Spirit, through his Word and his church, we're able to find the strength to walk as he wants us to walk. So, don't give ourselves to wanton pleasure. Also, don't live in disregard of Christ. Verse 11, again, is saying, refuse to put younger widows in list when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ. The focus there is in disregard of Christ. How is your relationship with Christ? If you're a widow, you're listening today, or a widower, how's your relationship with Christ? Is it focused? Are you in his Word? Are you praying? Spending time with him? How's your relationship with Christ? You know, if you've lost all with your husband, you need to put all your hope on Christ. He can give that, only that, which will fill you. And finally, verse 15 says this very sad thing. He's talking about, again, younger widows getting married, bury children, keep house, and give the enemy an occasion for reproach. For some, he says, some widows have already turned aside to follow Satan. You know, if you're not actively serving the Lord, if you're not seeking him, we can open ourselves up to a very vulnerable state. Is there a battle in your mind to justify compromise in some way? To get that wanted attention that maybe you're missing? I would just encourage you, seek the Savior. Don't listen to the evil one's attempts to lessen your standard, to take away from how God wants us to continue to seek him in holiness. So that's a warning that Paul's giving throughout this passage to widows. You're in a very vulnerable position. But he's calling you to seek him, even at this very vulnerable state. Now, the other warning is to family members. In verse 8, I'm going to go back there, where we said it's important for us to provide for our own households. But look at what it says at the end of verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? He's denied the faith. He's worse than an unbeliever. So important is taking care of the widows in our life that God's saying, if you don't do it, you're worse than an unbeliever. You've denied the faith. That's a very serious charge. Now, some may say, ah, but that's so hard. Or, but I don't like them. Or, I'm too busy. or I tried that once. Do those sound like excuses? They might be our excuses, but they don't excuse us before God. We need to continue to seek to take care of the widows in our family. So here's a family checkup time. Here we go. Are you neglecting any widows in your family right now? Think about it. A mother, grandmother, sister, cousin, I mean, extended. Think about it, extended, if the Lord would so lead there. But I'm just saying, we need to be mindful that it must begin in our household. We must be taking care of our own families. But I would also remind you, too, that even in the body of Christ, we talked about this last week, we saw that we're to treat older men as fathers, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters. This is the family of Christ right here. We are brothers and sisters. We're to look out for one another. So important. Well, let's apply this for a moment. This past week, I had the privilege of talking to a good number of our widows. I didn't get a chance to get to our widows. I know that they are dear men of God as well. But I talked to them, and I just asked them these questions. It may help us out, be practical with the way that we can care for those who are widows. I asked, how can we as a church come along and help you? And how can we individually help you? And these are some of the feedbacks I got. Ruth Lynch said, a widow never desires that position. Be sure of that. She mentioned the passage in Ecclesiastes 3:3-4 that talks about a time, the different times of life. And verses in that chapter can be very appropriate at certain times. She goes on to say, I found peace with God to discover, accept, and appreciate God's perfect timing. As I look back to happenings before Chuck's passing, it could only be orchestrated by God, she said. I knew that to be true, but now I've experienced that. She says, each person who becomes a widow expresses conflicting feelings such as regrets, guilt, anger. The bereaved person takes steps toward acceptance of her new circumstances, and those who want to help should ask and then listen. Ask them this, how are you coping emotionally? She says, accepting the process of healing and allowing others into your new world is not always easy. It's difficult for them. They're having to open up new relationships. She said this, many years ago, my heart would hurt to see a single woman by herself in church, even though others around knew she was walking life without her mate. That's why I had a burden for widows for many years ago. Reaching out, focusing on others helps. Many personalities can play a great part in this, and God is our guide. She says, young women don't separate from widows. I love the positive and laughter. Being older makes for slower reactions, and we need you. She's saying, younger ladies, I still want to be in your life. I value what you have to bring me. Please do that. That's what she longs for. Some of the other widows, Kay Campbell recently lost her husband, Greg. But Chuck and our church family has come along as a son for her. He and Greg, actually when Greg was still living, he's been taking care of her, checking in with her, taking her places. Kay, I know, appreciates that. Kathy Bremer said, hey, one of the ways I've seen widows be able to be honored is at a potluck, let them go first. Serve them first. She says, and if they're older and they have trouble getting to church, help them come. Whatever needs to be done to have that happen. She said, during the coronavirus time, my family took care of me, she said, but I had deacons from the church call me and ask if I need anything. She says, that meant so much. She said, if there's a windstorm, come and help us get branches out of the yard. Maybe we need help mowing or weeding. And if you have younger children, maybe let them draw a picture and put a Bible verse on it and send it to us like on a birthday or a holiday. That might be special for some people. She said, maybe a family could adopt a widow in the church and just walk them through. Just be with them, be there, take them through. Guys, odd jobs are always needed to be done. What can we do to help them out in that way? Vicki DeVita shared with me, you know, the church has done a good job. People were assigned to call and they did, and people called. And she says, now 4 years later, it's easier for me. But she says, people called a lot. She really appreciated Nate Harworth calling with the youth group and coming out there and doing things for her around her property, Really appreciated that. She said, just be a friend. She says, I love to come to church and people will just say, can I do anything for you, Vicki? She said, that's meant so much, so much. And then going to Sunday dinner with people, that's been a huge thing for her. Just have someone to be with on Sundays. Sylvia Gerch, who lost Don just less than a year ago, says, I had lots of offers for help of all kinds. People were available, and I felt very fortunate. But pray for us. Praying is so important. Pray for us. And she said, specifically last Sunday, Del Northup came to her and said, you know, I just want you to know how much I miss Don. And he was emotional as he said it. And she says, you do not know how much that meant to me. She says, we so much want our husbands remembered. And sometimes people are afraid to mention them because they're afraid that it'll trouble us or bother us or hurt us. But that was so meaningful to her. She so appreciated that. Linda Thompson just mentioned, you know, the kids and I will work well cared for by the church family. It was good to have positive influences to our kids to help them out. It helped a lot. It was hard to go to church with group activities alone, and yet people would reach out, and I didn't feel alone. She went on to say that repairs, people did repairs for her, and that was helpful. She enjoyed people bouncing ideas off of, and she felt loved. Francie Simons, who can't get out in the residential area where she said, you know what, just thinking of me and calling me means so much. Francie might appreciate a call. Praying. Pray for me, she said. Lois Wisdom said, you know, the deacons have done a great job. They call, they ask if I need anything. She says, you know, I really haven't thought much about my position in life as a widow. She says, it's kind of part of my life situation now. I've accepted that. But she says, I try to remember what Marvel Clark told me when she says, you've got to remember to count your rainbows. You know what? I love the widows of our church, and I know you do too. And it was so encouraging to me as I talked to these or communicated with them how our deacons and people in this church have reached out to this group. And it's God-honoring. I was so encouraged by it. But we can grow, can't we? I can. I can grow in this area. And I would just encourage us all to prayerfully consider that. And in conclusion, you know, God prescribes how to care for widows. Are we following His prescription? Father, we thank You this morning for this opportunity we've had to just open Your Word and be challenged from this text of Scripture. It's one that we sometimes can feel uncomfortable talking about, but the truth is we have widows who are in our church family. And Lord, I pray that, I thank You for what we've been able to do, but we can grow, Father. We can even become more loving as a church family in this regard, and I pray that we will. Thank You so much for clear instruction in Your Word about how we might be able to come alongside and best support the widows that You have in our church family. We love them, Father, but we know we don't love them near as much as You do. Father, thank You for this portion of Scripture, and thank You for our widows and their husbands and how we've benefited in our lives from them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.